express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, that theme music you just heard was from the almost inimitable Billy Foster with vocals by Renee Foster. And I guess we can take just a moment to say what a great time at Jazz Fest last week.
The Jazz Fest was spectacular.
Great job, Esther. Did a great job actually producing and presenting that event and everything. We had a great time doing it too. So,
and Renee, Billy and Renee, wow.
Great. Our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brouwer Museum and our landlord right here in this beautiful technical building, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Hey, if you'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic building, yay, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. We'd like to thank them for the generous support. We always give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, for getting us on the air.
Thank you so much, Greg.
He's dancing in the other room there. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant and South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts, and that's a federal agency. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts, arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. Art on the Air is rebroadcast on Mondays at 5 p.m. You can hear our entire show at our website, which is at breck.com, A-O-T-A. That's Breck, BREC.com/AOTA. And you also can see our detailed arts events calendar there, too. Hey, our show is also being carried on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're also being heard on WIUN Red Hawk Radio, IUN's closed circuit station. And by the way, back to Lakeshore for a minute. We'll be on the streaming services. We'll announce when that's true, but we'll be on Spotify, Intune, and many others. But we'll let you know when that happens. So that's it. Just for a moment here, we talked about this before the show. It's ever so important that we get underwriting support. And what that means, you. We're looking for support from our individual listeners. And we especially would love to have like art businesses. We'd love to promote you as an underwriter. Esther and I would invite you to become an underwriter for this program. Now that we have a bigger footprint besides just the WVLP, but we're heard elsewhere, you would get a lot of exposure. We have underwriter levels all through like a basic underwriter level all the way to major underwriter. We are looking to upgrade some equipment here too.
We are.
Getting a new actual broadcast style board, and eventually you're going to have telephone things. These are happening because of you, members and underwriters for the show. So if you want to find out more about that, go to WVLP.org/support. Don't just be a WVLP listener. Become a supporter or underwriter, whatever amount you can. We'll put that money to work and continue to be bring you this great local programming. And like I say every week, that brings a smile to Esther's face. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air and WVLP. Well, we're going to start with the arts calendar. And we'll start with good old Porter County. Well, if you haven't been out to the Brouwer Museum, this is the last week before winter break to see the three exhibits there, the Betty LaDuke Social Justice Revisited exhibit, the Sky Cock Visit Cosmic Light Series, and Mark Fletcher Winking Turtle Whispering Tree. So if you don't do it this coming week, they're going to go on break and not going to have something until January. So get a chance, go out there. You also see the new Neil Goodman sculpture out that's out there. Village Gallery at Pines, they still continue with Jeffrey Bromgarter, but you probably might think of him as Doomed Summer Theater, but he's also an oil painter, and so his pieces will remain there through January 9th. So if you get a chance to go to Village Gallery in Valpo, you can see that. Well, Chesterton Arts Center, they are now putting up the show in December, the Duneland Photography Club, which we've had them on the show here before. Their exhibits actually open on Saturday, December 7th, 10 to 2 p.m., so if you get a chance, you can go to the opening reception. Also on December 8th, from 6 to 8 p.m. If you're an artist, especially an individual artist, and are interested in about obtaining a grant from the Indiana Arts Commission, they're going to have a special workshop. So you can get there. You need to pre-register. You can either call or get an EVA ticket or anything, and you get there, there's a limited amount of seating, and there will be pizza. So you can go there and you learn about how to get a grant for an individual arts project. And they always have the stained glass projects that are there. And we've already passed Mark Vanderwein. He already had his critique night. Art Barn. Well, they're doing their holiday gift gallery. And on Friday, December 7th, they have a mom's night out. So mom, if you're tired, you know, if you park the kids somewhere, you can do that and have fun in the evening, 7 to 9. On December 14 and 15, they have a holiday ornament party from 2 to 5 p.m. So on either day, and so you can enjoy that. And this month, they're probably not going to be doing the fourth Friday because it does fall kind of in the weekend of the Christmas holiday weekend. So they're not doing that or open mic. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques. Well, Saturday, December 7th, they have their second holiday event, and they're having Holiday with the Artists wine tasting at 6:30. And yes, I'll be there because I'm one of their artists. So I will go there so I can meet the people and everything. So I'll be there at
so
Artsy.
Busy.
That's in Chesterton. So yeah, I guess it's, you know, like I said, you know, taking a quote from Pippin, I believe if I refuse to grow old, I will stay young till I die. So that's it. My philosophy
go,
like
go.
Like the Energizer Bunny. Monday, December 6th, they have a wire wrapping class at 6 p.m. Ellen Firm Gallery there, right on US 12. They're doing a chase with the Iron Horse that's going to be on display. It's a 40 by 50 oil painting that opened on December 1st. It'll continue there. It's a beautiful work. It actually George Lucas commissioned, and it's of an old train. It's a great thing that they're having touring around. So I'm not sure how they got that, but it's awesome. Memorial Opera House, well, they're presenting their musical adaptation of Miracle on 34th Street. It opened November 29th, continues through December 15th. You can see the link on our site to find out information about that. Dig the Dunes calendar release party. Well, while that is in LaPorte County, they are kind of more Porter County based, so I went ahead and took this one. There'll be a Patina Vintage Goods in Michigan City. Find out information about that. That'll be December 8th from 2 to 5 p.m. I'll be at that place. I'm going to be at two places at once in Michigan City, right? Almost at the same time. It's going to be
exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly. You're going to be running back and forth.
Yes. And then Chicago Street Theater, they're doing two shows in rep, Santa Land and the Best Christmas Pageant Ever. That's going through December 15th on alternate nights. You can find out which night what it's what. And 4th Street Theater, well, you know, our guest here has just appeared there on November 30th with a Christmas Carol Classic one-man show. They have auditions for Art, which they just cast, and I guess our guest is also cast in that show.
What a great segue.
Hey, well, we'll talk about that when we get to you. I already have that in my notes, too. So, and they also do have improv there at Crown Point. So that's all we have for Porter County. Go ahead and see what we have in Lake County.
Well, First Friday is happening in LaPorte County in Michigan City. So in LaPorte, we have the Thaddeus C. Gallery located in downtown LaPorte. Visit them. They're most excellent. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, their current exhibit is Living Architecture, and that runs through January 4th of 2020, and it's showing in all three galleries. In the NIPSCO Art Education Studio, we have an exhibit called As We See It. And that also ends on January 4th, 2020, and that's put on by the Social and Learning Institute in Paladin. Michigan City Messiah, December 21st at 7 p.m., December 22nd at 3 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Michigan City. Admission is free. Seating is limited. Order free tickets at MC Messiah. That's MCMESSIAH.com. Rising Phoenix Gallery, their December exhibit is all about toys, opening December 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. SFC Gallery, December exhibiting artists are Betty Thomas and Bunny Dimke, opening December 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest has the is exhibiting Robert Serko's exhibit Me, Myself, and Eyes, Recent Paintings and Drawings. Friday, December 6th at 5 p.m., artist Sandra Setlick. She's created these delightful watercolors of animals, which she's made into cards, and she will be donating all the proceeds from the card sales to the Humane Society for the Dunes. And we'll have a permanent display in the gallery, and all proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, will go to the Humane Society of the Dunes. And then at 6:30 p.m., we have our monthly drum circle starting December 6th at 6:30. Yes, the drum circle. We're hoping for, there's this wonderful musician who brings his didgeridoo, so I'm hoping he...
Ooh, that's
I'm
exciting.
I'm hoping he brings it. It adds like a really great element to the drum circle. Saturday, December 7th, we have a free concert by the Jazz Mates. So we're going to continue the jazz.
Yeah, you've been really jazzy lately, haven't you?
I know. We're jazzing up the town. Sunday, December 8th, the third annual Movable Art Feast holiday pop-up. And Larry Bruckner will be there, so you'll get both of us.
Yeah, we'll get small works there. We're going to make like my little 5x5 and 5x7 pieces.
It's so exciting. We love it. So some of the artists participating, Deanna Rose Jewelry, Hook Pottery Paper. John will be making cookies right there on demand. Kieran's Forest, Dorothy Graydon, Verdant Fairy Botanical Perfumes, Anne-Marie Marti and her Mighty Mirth, Manjushri Hermitage. Rosemarie will have her really charming wool knit animals and vegetables and probably a few other treats. Captain Ambivalent will be there because I love Captain Ambivalent.
Ta-da!
And every venue needs sequined gold go-go boots and
an accordion player.
Accordion.
A gold accordion.
And a superhero. Captain Ambivalent. Yay. Sybil Walker will be there with her jewelry. Robin and Teresa with Savoring a Century of Progress. And Brabant Lenting. We see his flash drawings every morning.
I do too, yeah.
And he'll be in person. So.
And we're going to get him back on the show. We just talked about that before the show. We're going to get him back on for one of our whole solo interviews.
Yeah, he's
great
got
stories.
I had so much fun with him. He came by yesterday for a cup of tea. It was wonderful. Monday, December 9th and December 25th, we have the last of the workshops, or of this series of workshops, with Therachi Tai Chi Meditation for Health and Relaxation and Therapeutic Qigong. And mindful movement meditation with Christy Putnam. It's been a wonderful series, and I think we'll be starting up again. Wednesday, December 18th is the Brain Injury Support Group. Meets every third Wednesday at Anamkara. Saturday, December 21st, and every third Saturday, all ages, all talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. At 7 p.m. So December 21st, that's the next one. So it's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. And I want to mention in January 19th, Free Your Story Storytelling Workshop with Roger Batten. All the details are on the Ness Michigan City Facebook page. And that's it for LaPorte County.
Well, that's a lot going on in LaPorte County and Michigan City. Wow. Well, we'll move to Lake County real quick here. We have the opening for Arm and a Leg at Studio 659 in Whiting. And that's coming up. I didn't have the date on it. They just had the call for art in the year. But that is going to open December 7th. There we go. And runs through January 4th. And Arm and a Leg is a new thing. You can find out information on that new exhibit. South Shore Arts. Well, they got lots of things going. They continue with Things That Go Bump in the Night. I saw that exhibit when I was there visiting for an event, and it runs through February 2nd. It's very interesting. Some local artists and a mix of that. The Atrium Gallery continues with Path to the Beach, Crown Point Branch, Something in the Air, Artists in Residence. That's ending this weekend, December 7th. And Substation Number 9, Julio Guevara, Gallery of the Voice, and that's continuing there. And Toll Theaters featuring Judy Crawford for your consideration. Miller Beach Arts and Creative Districts, Thursdays and Fridays, they're doing Miller Beach Arts information, and they have an exhibit there. Go see that. You can find that information on our page. South Lake Artist Cooperative, SLAC. They call themselves Slackers. They have exhibits at the Paul Henry Gallery in Hammond, Sip Coffee House in Highland. That's the Word exhibit. And their 10th anniversary show is at the Paul Henry Gallery. And they're doing Portrait of an Artist at the Wild Rose Brewery Gallery. Dyer Arts Visionaries, Dave, they're doing a show called Space, Energy, and Time. And it's open November 2nd, and you can find that at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. Theater at the Center. My old stomping grounds there, the Center for Visual Performing Arts in Munster. They're dreaming of a white Christmas through December 22nd. They have dinner theater dates available. You can contact them about that. And when they close that, they'll be opening in February with Almost Heaven. It's a music based on John Denver music and his life. So you can see that. The Promise You Art House in Highland. They're having a special thing with Winter Collection. It's their second annual tradition. Their gallery walls will be full. I know Dorothy Graydon's one of the artists. There's a whole list of artists that are in that. So you can see that in Highland.
Dorothy will be Sunday at the
Dorothy's all over the place. Yeah, she's just all over it. When she's not scuba diving, she's doing that, right?
She's done every one of ours, so this will be her third year there.
Lakeshore Community Concerts, they're kind of on hiatus until the rest of their season, but you can find out their whole rest of their season. They have three more concerts left on that. Northwest Indiana Symphony, their Pops Concert, December 11, 12, and 13, will feature the Symphony Chorus, Plum Grove Strings, and my old partner in theatrical crime, Bill Woods from Crown Point High School Choir will be there. So you can find out. Tickets go fast because it's a smaller venue. Now the Star Plaza's gone. M&M Productions, Scrooge the Musical, December 6th and 7th is what's left on their venue. It's based on the 1970s version of the music, so you can find out more about that. Then we have, let's see, Indiana Ballet Theater. We had Glory and the Troupe on here last week. They still have some shows left, but it opens December 6th, which if you're listening to us live, it's tonight, 6, 7, and then they have 11, 12, 13, 14. Some of those dates are sold out, so you can find out information about that. And then there's on December 6th, there's a special collaborative fundraiser involving Paul Henry Galley, Toll Theater, and the Hammond Development Corporation. And you can find out information. I'll just do the brief thing. They're going to do a seating for a show. They have the business center where they'll have drinks and appetizers. Paul Henry, they have light appetizers and things like that. It's a whole combination package, and you get to view Miracle on 34th Street, a live musical there at Toll. So find out information on that. And then finally, we have this other thing that's going to be at the Tom Lounge's Record Bin, opening December 7th from 7 p.m. It's a celebration of dramatic readings by Grant Fitch. Well, guess what? He's our guest in here. How about that? But that's coming up in Lake County events, and we'll talk more about that as we talk to Grant. And again, if you'd like to get your art event on here, we'd love to have it. You go to artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. And there we go. So today, we have master storyteller and actor Grant Fitch. He's been a professional storyteller, award-winning actor, and director for more than 20 years. I've done to do that kind of this for 40 years, but that's... And now I'm kind of retired from theater. Someone asked me that the other day. He said, hey, you doing any theater? I gave him a kind of a hard no. I said, no, I'm doing a lot of other things. He does these fully memorized...
A lot of other things.
He does these fully memorized pieces around Halloween time. It's the Poe series and everything like that. But we'd like to welcome Grant to the show today. Welcome to Art on the Air.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to take as much time interviewing him, but we want to talk to you just a little bit about it. So I want to tell you like where you grew up, where you went to school, where you went to college. How did you get from there to here?
In 30 seconds or less.
No, you can do as long as you want.
Yeah.
Born and raised in the south suburbs of Chicago, Thornton, the quarry town.
Okay.
Two
big
houses.
Big hole in the ground.
Two houses and a post office on the edge of a big hole in the ground, exactly. What was kind of fun was that I lived just 9 houses down from my wife.
Okay.
We went to high school, but she wasn't my high school sweetheart. We barely knew each other, but we found each other a few years ago. And now we both live in Dyer with
okay.
5 teenagers between us.
Oh, my gosh.
So
that should be exciting in and of itself.
Yeah, so we have a fun-filled life. But, yeah, I'm performing from time to time in community theater and with my storytelling, some memorized. Some,
what are some of the groups you performed with?
Reading,
I know 4th Street Theater, obviously.
Yeah. I actually made a list a couple years ago and kind of decided everybody that I hadn't already, I wanted to make sure I checked off. I've worked with Genesius and Hammond
right.
like a dozen times over the last 20 years. Some I just did like once at the Dunes. I've done several things at Footlight. Earlier this year, I was at Footlight with Musical of Musicals, the musical. I've been pretty much everywhere. I've done several things on the Opera House stage in Valpo and Chicago Street Theater. In fact, the only time I've played Scrooge with anybody else on stage was a musical version of Scrooge that we did a couple of 3 years ago
okay.
at Memorial Opera House.
Very good. So where did you go? Where did you go to college?
I went to Thornwood High School. I went
right.
When I left here, I went up to Milwaukee to go to school and stayed there for some years. I was at Carroll.
Okay.
Carroll College, now Carroll University in Waukesha, and eventually came back down here to Northwest Indiana, where I've been for more than 20 years, which
wow.
I never thought... possible.
Yeah, that's
didn't think that was the plan, but that was the plan.
That's great. So we you're doing lots of these roles, and one of which is coming up on Saturday, December 7th, is mm-hmm. that my buddy's Tom Lounges, which I've known all the way back to the disco era. So he and I have disco stories to swap. So that's probably pretty you. But that's in Hobart, and you'll be doing on December 7th at 7 p.m. Yuletide Favorites, the first thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll listen to a couple of excerpts of that. And then one of your signature things that you do is a one-man show of the Christmas Carol, yes. and that'll be on December 14th.
Exactly. Now, that's kind of what started. I was a children's librarian when I first moved back to this region at the Lansing Public Library, and I was there for several years. Mm. And I was a children's librarian, and I did events with the teens, and I did a lot of story times for the kids. And then the first Christmas I was there, I thought, this will be fun. I'll work up something for the family, something for the adults and the kids.
Sure.
I had seen people do it a couple of times before as a reading, edit it down to about an hour, and perform Christmas Carol. It's a very flexible text. You know, you can kind of, you know, pull things out and add things in. And I'd always been the kind of person who liked reading aloud to people anyway. I was having so much fun with the kids, doing Winnie the Pooh stories and Shel Silverstein and Dr. Seuss, that I said, well, let me see what I can do for the grown-ups. And they liked it. And they liked it so much they had me do it again the following Christmas. And then the year after that, they said, well, what else you got? And I started expanding into Edgar Allan Poe and Mark Twain and Kurt Vonnegut and O. Henry and so many other authors year-round. But I kept doing Christmas Carol. Eventually, I ended up memorizing it the rest of the way, since every year I noticed I was looking at the words less and the audience more. So I finally finished. I took a few months, and it did take a couple of months to cram the rest of it into my head. And now it's, for about 15 years now, it's been a fully memorized 90-minute show. This is my annual parlor trick of, hey, look what I've got in my head. You may, if you remember Fahrenheit 451.
Oh, yes.
Ray Bradbury could see this future day when books were outlawed and people who loved books
became the book. Yeah.
Everybody kind of picked one favorite story to cram into their heads and keep it so that they could share it with others, so that that story wouldn't get lost. And obviously, years ago, I made my choice. Christmas Carol is the one, you know, that post-apocalyptic, you know, I will retain this story so it doesn't get lost. Whatever your story is, you know, pick it, get it in your head. But I know what mine is.
Do you have any memory tricks? Now, I've been done in theater. Now, mostly I've been on the directing side. But do you have any memory tricks to go do that? I mean, one of the tips I always gave actors is that don't just read the lines silently. You need to speak them out loud, because then you build up the double thing in your brain where you're saying it, you hear it audibly, you're actually speaking it, so you have actually three tracks in your brain plus reading it. So
absolutely. I can't memorize anything just looking at it silently. It's not going to get into my head.
Repetition.
And repetition is key. I mean, just going over scenes and going over monologues and speeches and back and forth dialogue in rehearsal is valuable, just that repetition. But obviously you have to give yourself a lot of repetition in it too.
Sure.
Don't just do the work in rehearsal. My big thing, actually, because I don't do it visually as much as I do it with the auditory, so I've been making tapes, even though we don't use cassette tapes much anymore. You know, I used to make tapes, now I use the app on my phone. But I record myself doing my lines, and I listen to it over and over again until I can start saying the words with myself.
Your very own book on tape.
Making books on tape, and then when I get far enough, I make another recording, and I feed myself the lines, and then take a little pause so that I can start saying it, and then just in case I don't get it, I start saying the lines. So I'll really have the time and I really feel bold, I will make a tape that has none of my own lines at all. It's everybody else's lines and a long gap where I'm supposed to be talking. And just when I'm driving anywhere or when I'm going, whatever else I'm doing, I can work on my lines. And that's really what it is. That's how I got Christmas Carol in my head. That's how I've gotten huge speeches from Henry Higgins or Sherlock Holmes or anybody into my head. I did a two-man play same time next year, and there were a lot of words to that.
Yeah,
like the three-man play that I've got coming up now.
Right, and go ahead and tell us a little about that. That's called Act, and that's going to be at the 4th Street Theater.
Art. A fabulous script. I've seen it done a couple times before. I've always wanted to be part of it, and I'm really excited to be directed by Stanley, and getting on stage with a couple of great guys, Dean and Alex, that I've been wanting to work with, that I've worked with before, but not enough. And so we're going to have a great time, the three of us. But it's basically, I guess you could say, a series of conversations as we as it escalates. One guy buys a painting. It is white on white with white stripes on white. And it's just a big white canvas. And it's modern art, like you'd see at the Art Institute in the modern wing. And, you know, some people get it and some people don't. He spent a lot of money on it. And his friend says, "What are you doing? What have you done?" And is really outraged. And the third guy, me, the middleman, if you will, says, You can spend money on that. That's fine. That's his thing." And then he goes to the other guy and says, "You're right. You're right. What a fool. So I'm very wishy-washy in this role, which is fun. But what's neat is it becomes a conversation, a series of conversations about art and what is art. And then it really becomes a bunch of conversations about what is friendship and how we define ourselves through our friends, and what we define ourselves through what our friends think and believe. And if you're the kind of guy who can buy that piece of art, I don't know who you are anymore. And that makes me wonder who I am." And they get into really big arguments about something that's, you know, basically not something you need to argue about. So it's huge. It's by the French author. It's translated into English by the same French author who wrote God of Carnage, if that means anything, which is similarly about four people having a quiet conversation that turns into absolute chaos by the end of the 90 minutes. So,
and that's going to be opening in February.
And that's in March. Okay. March, yeah. We got the auditions out of the way nice and early, so now we can all go away and enjoy our Christmas.
And not have to worry about
with
it.
With a script.
Going rehearsal. How long does 4th Street rehearse? I mean, to get in production?
Well, you know, it depends. With a straight play, you can usually knock something out in 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
If you've got a big a cast or a big musical where you're going to need to learn a lot of choreography and music and stuff like this, you can do 8 or 9 weeks. You know,
I never did it that long.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, crazy me.
Musicals, we spent, I think, probably 9 weeks getting all the choreography and all the music in.
Because I was doing 4 productions a year, plus 2 middle school shows. My wife was directing those. And so we would have overlapping schedules, but I bet you the musical was like 6 weeks. Maybe we'd start some vocal rehearsals in this because we were overlapping shows. So, yeah,
Well, that's all the time you've got, yeah.
Well, yeah, because I had 60 events in the theater, you know, so it was like, yeah, it was my life.
So in high school, were you the guy who did all the voices?
I was very quiet in school. I developed a personality once I got to college, but in high school I was pretty quiet. I would read to my mom. I would read to my brother. You know, I liked finding something and reading aloud to them.
A captive audience.
And I would do all the voices. I wanted to be a voice actor. I wanted to be an actor on stage. I didn't have the guts to try for it yet. But I kind of blossomed in college once I got away from the old. I moved to another state and sort of was able to start over a little bit.
Yes, could be somebody else.
Yeah, it could be somebody else. I decided to be several somebody else's.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But yeah, I finally came out of my shell, you know, late senior year, and started talking to people, started making jokes, doing the voices.
Okay.
Well, that's excellent. Well, we're going to ask Grant to read. You're listening to Art on the Air, and with your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and with the Yuletide Favorites coming up on Saturday, December 7th, at Tom Lounge's Record Bin in Main Street in Hobart. So that's going to be a compilation of some of your favorites, isn't it?
Yeah, we have kind of like I did at Halloween, where we've got a lot of classic stories that are spooky. We've got a lot of, besides the big one, Christmas Carol, which we'll talk about in a second. There's a lot of other short stories and poems, you know, connected with this time of year. And so I'll read Night Before Christmas, of course, and the essay Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, you know, heartwarming stuff. Gift of the Magi by O. Henry, right? Classics. But it's also fun to do. I found the original short story that became It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes. I don't think people realize it was based on a short story.
Right. And it's a very simple piece. We've got the basic idea, you know, this unknown author gave us the idea of, I wish I'd never been born. Okay, you've never been born. Let's see how that plays out. But it's a much simpler idea, smaller.
Right.
You know, Frank Capra added a lot to it to make his movie.
Didn't it come like in a Christmas card or some other?
That's right. He hadn't been able to get it published, so he sent it around to a bunch of his friends in Hollywood, and one of those friends was Frank Capra, and he said, "Ooh, I can do something with this." And he bought the story, and he added Mr. Potter. There's no Mr. Potter in the original. You know, he added a whole bunch of other characters and wonderful things, and Zuzu's petals and everything. and named the mysterious stranger. He's there, of course. You have to have him, but he's just a mysterious stranger. But he gave him the name Clarence and the title of Angel Second Class and expanded on that.
Why don't you get set up to read that? One thing I remember about A Wonderful Life is, as a motion picture, it was not a success when it ran.
Right, right.
And one of the things, if you saw it like during the holiday time a lot on broadcast TV, it was because the copyright lapsed. Because copyright lasts for 99 years, but you have to renew it somewhere in there. So you got to see it over and over on New Year's Eve.
We grew up watching it over and over again.
And it was because it was free to play. Now they've renewed the copyright, so that'll be good until probably 2043 or something like that. But anyway, so you all set for A Wonderful Life?
Yeah, let me just give you a couple of paragraphs of that.
All right, and this is Grant Fitch, master storyteller, A Wonderful Life.
The little town straggling up the hill was bright with colored Christmas lights, but George Pratt did not see them. He was leaning over the railing of the iron bridge, staring down moodily at the black water. The current eddied and swirled like liquid glass, and occasionally a bit of ice, detached from the shore, would go gliding downstream to be swallowed up in the shadows under the bridge. The water looked paralyzingly cold. George wondered how long a man could stay alive in it. The glassy blackness had a strange, hypnotic effect on him. He leaned still farther over the railing. "I wouldn't do that if I were you," said a quiet voice behind him. George turned resentfully to see a little man he'd never seen before, stout, well past middle age, his round cheeks pink in the winter air, as though they'd just been shaved. "Wouldn't do what?" "What you were thinking of doing." "How do you know what I was thinking?" "Oh, we make it our business to know a lot of things." "Looks like snow, doesn't it? It'll be nice to have a white Christmas. They're getting scarce these days, but so are a lot of things. You all right now?" "Of course I'm all right. What made you think I wasn't? You know, you shouldn't think of such things. On Christmas Eve, of all times, you've got to consider Mary. And your mother, too. How? Don't ask me how I know such things. It's my business to know them. That's why I came along this way tonight." "Well, if you know so much about me," said George, "give me one good reason why I should be alive." "Oh, come, come, it can't be that bad. You've got your job at the bank, and Mary, and the kids. You're healthy, young, and sick of everything," said George. "I'm stuck in this mud hole for life, doing the same dull work day after day. Other men are leading exciting lives, but I'm just a small-town bank clerk that even the army didn't want. I never did anything really useful or interesting, and it looks as if I never will. I might just as well be dead. I might better be dead. Sometimes I wish I were. In fact, I wish I'd never been born." "Oh, what was that you said?" "I said I wish I'd never been born, and I mean it, too." Oh, that's wonderful. You solved everything. I was afraid you were going to give me some trouble. But now you've got the solution yourself. You wish you'd never been born. All right, okay. You haven't." "What do you mean?" "You haven't been born, just that. You haven't been born. No one here knows you. You have no responsibilities, no job, no wife, no children. Why, you haven't even a mother." "Well, you couldn't, of course. Well, all your troubles are over. Your wish, I'm happy to say, has been granted. Officially."
Wow. Excellent. So you can hear more of that with Grant. You can hear the complete thing on December 7th, Saturday, Yuletide Favorites, 7 p.m. at Record Bin on Main Street in Hobart. And they'll have some nice little appetizers and refreshments there. And you can find out more about that at tomloungesrecordbin.com. And you can find that online and everything. So you can see what's coming up and everything. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's excellent.
Also doing the Gene Shepherd story about the Red Ryder BB gun.
We'll have you do a couple of other things, too.
Oh, I just wanted to slip that in.
I mean, you're having... What? You're doing A Wonderful Life. You're doing, A Christmas Story.
Yeah. I've got some poems. There's an Ogden Nash poem I quite like called The Boy Who Laughed at Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
That's fun. I might do that for you as well.
Yeah.
As well as some selections from the Santa Land Diaries. David Sedaris's groundbreaking, rather sarcastic work about behind the scenes at Macy's Santaland.
And A Night Before Christmas, I think, is in there, too.
Of course, you got to have A Night Before Christmas.
Of course, yeah. The Gift of the Magi.
Yeah, Gift of the Magi, all the classics.
I mean, that's a fun-filled evening there. That's on Saturday, December 7th, and then we'll talk about a little bit later what you're doing on the 14th, too. But Grant's going to do that and everything like that. Now, you come, let's say, into January, you've done all this and everything, and then it's like, oh my, you do your stuff for like Halloween. So
right.
When, and of course, you're doing other shows that you're doing that. You know, how do you kind of gear up for the holiday season? I mean, you know, it's all in your head, but you know, if you don't say it like for like 9 months and all.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Halloween and Christmas are my big times of the year. I mean, I have stories that I share year-round. I go to schools and libraries with a stack of picture books, things like that. In March, we always like to celebrate Dr. Seuss Day and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll do a few things throughout the year.
Sure.
This is the big time.
Yeah.
I've got a retirement community and a Lions group. You know, that's having me come and do some storytelling later this week. So, you know, so this is this time and Halloween. That's when
it's your biggies.
Most people really want to hear a story. But yeah, with Christmas Carol, with making sure that's still in my head, when I'm on a long drive in the middle of summer a couple of times, I'll make sure it's still there, and I'll just start reciting. You know, I'll be driving somewhere and I'll suddenly just go, okay. Molly was dead.
So does your family? Does your family have it memorized too? So are they feeding you?
Well, you know, I try not to bother them with it, but
especially the teenagers.
So it's usually when I'm driving alone. Although sometimes too, if I'm driving late at night and you know, the kid is sleeping in the back seat or my wife is next to me but she's looking at her phone, she doesn't feel like talking right now. And just to keep myself awake, you know, I'll start muttering, you know.
Marley is dead.
Just start running through, you know. God bless us, everyone. And eventually somebody will be like, what are you muttering over there? Are you talking to yourself?
You're talking to yourself. Excellent.
But you got to make sure it's
still ravens,
there.
Ravens.
Now, you said you were children
too. The Raven. I've been doing Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven for many years as well, and that's all up there. And I still got to make sure that's all up there too. Everything else mostly is written for me. But
there you go.
Sure, the Raven.
Now, you said you were a children's librarian. Are you doing that now, or have you moved away from that because this is keeping you busy enough? Or
yeah, I was a librarian for a little while. I went into teaching for a bit, and then
where'd you teach at?
I've moved into a series of office jobs. I was at Fox College for a few years in Oak Lawn.
All right.
Business college, you know, teaching. I was hired as a touch typing teacher. And then once I was there for a little while and they got to know me, they had me start teaching English as well as you know, public speaking.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Let's put him in public speaking. Let's make him the speech teacher because why not? So I enjoyed being there. That was a lot of fun. And then I've done a bunch of things over the years. You know, I was working for Orbitz.com, the online travel agency, for some years and stuff like that. So, you know, always had a good day job so that I could afford to do the stuff I want to do for fun. Basically.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to make a living as a storyteller.
Well, you
I
know,
wish I could, but.
Well, and that's true of a lot of actors. When I was working
as an actor,
when I was working at theater at the center, you know, that there was their real job and their theater job, and a lot of them did medical transcription because they could do that in rehearsal.
Oh, yeah.
They weren't on stage; they'd be off there, you know, doing a bunch of medical transcription.
Well, I worked backstage at the theater at the center for about a year, some years back when I.
It must have been after I was gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was about 2004 because I remember we were having a baby.
Ah.
And. So, yeah, for about a year I was working backstage tech, and it was a lot of fun, but the gap in between shows, again, I wasn't sure how to fill that time myself, and I was watching what the actors were doing, and the whole time they were acting and rehearsing and doing their shows, in between everyone, they were on their phones with their agents and figuring out what show was coming up next, and I thought, that's no way to live when I just had a baby.
No.
So someday I would love to try and be a professional actor.
And you have the catch 22 that
I want the youngest kid to be 18,
right?
And then I'll start thinking about that.
The great catch 22 for professional actors is when to get the equity card. And the advice I always say
get
to be equity eligible and stay there as long as you can, because you still audition for most equity shows, but you don't have to, and you still can do other stuff. Once you get the card, it really restricts what you can do.
Yeah, I've heard that.
But then you also get benefits when you have your equity card. But, you know, you have to get those 50-some weeks in to do that and everything. So We're talking to Grant Fitch, professional storyteller, award-winning actor and director for more than 20 years. So been doing that. So what do you have for us next that we can do from your Yuletide favorites?
Oh, well, let me share with you a short poem by Ogden Nash here. Oh. This is something light and fun. This is back in the 50s, a little poem called The Boy Who Laughed at Santa Claus. In Baltimore, there lived a boy. He wasn't anybody's joy. Although his name was Jabez Dawes, his character was full of flaws. In school, he never led his classes. He hid old ladies' reading glasses. His mouth was open when he chewed, and elbows to the table glued. He stole the milk of hungry kittens and walked through doors marked No Admittance. He said he acted thus because there wasn't any Santa Claus. Another trick that tickled Jabez was crying boo at little babies. He brushed his teeth, they said, in town sideways instead of up and down. Yet people pardoned every sin and viewed his antics with a grin till they were told by Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Deploring how he did behave, his parents swiftly sought their grave. They hurried through the portals pearly, and Jabez left the funeral early. Like whooping cough, from child to child, he sped to spread the rumor wild. Sure as my name is Jabez Dawes, there isn't any Santa Claus. Slunk like a weasel or a marten through nursery and kindergarten, whispering low to every tot, there isn't any, no, there's not. The children wept all Christmas Eve, and Jabez chortled up his sleeve. No infant dared to hang up his stocking for fear of Jabez's ribald mocking. He sprawled on his untidy bed, fresh malice dancing in his head, when presently, with scalp a-tingling, Jabez heard a distant jingling. He heard the crunch of sleigh and hoof crisply alighting on the roof. What good to rise and bar the door? A shower of soot was on the floor. What was beheld by Jabez Dawes? The fireplace full of Santa Claus! Then Jabez fell upon his knees with cries of don't and pretty please. He howled, I don't know where you read it, but anyhow, I never said it. Jabez, replied the angry saint, it isn't I, it's you that ain't. Although there is a Santa Claus, there isn't any Jabez Dawes. Said Jabez then with impudent vim, oh yes, there is, and I am him. Your magic don't scare me, it doesn't. And suddenly he found he wasn't. From grimy feet to grimy locks, Jabez became a jack-in-the-box, an ugly toy with springs unsprung, forever sticking out his tongue. The neighbors heard his mournful squeal. They searched for him, but not with zeal. No trace was found of Jabez Dawes, which led to thunderous applause, and people drank a loving cup and went and hung their stockings up. All you who sneer at Santa Claus, beware the fate of Jabez Dawes, the saucy boy who mocked the saint. Donner and Blitzen licked off his paint.
And that's again Grant Fitch. You'll hear him Saturday, December 7th at 7 p.m. doing some of the Yuletide favorites at the Record Bin.
Be captivated.
And be very captivated. You can find out tickets. It's an Eventbrite type thing you can find out and everything. And it's there'll be things there. And
I think it's a $15 ticket charge.
Mm-hmm. And everything.
Mm-hmm. And I guess this might be something we need to hook up with the Nest, don't you think? That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah,
you
know,
she operates the Nest in Michigan City. We could have Grant go over there. I introduced her to Billy and Renee Foster, and now we had a jazz fest out of that.
So wonderful.
So, and then you'll be doing some other things and everything. And so what do you do when you're not doing this?
Well, I've been working for a while with Absolute Construction. That's my current job, and I'm loving it there. A wonderful company. I don't want to say too much about, you know, current employer, but they're wonderful people, and they do wonderful work in kitchen and bath.
Very good. So that's something completely different. So I was always very fortunate that I when I was doing theater from full time from 79 on, I had a full-time job doing what I love. So it was, you know, that doesn't always work out that way.
No, exactly.
It's a tough thing. But anyway, that'd be really great if you could change this into a career. But I understand when you have kids, it's a tough thing.
You know? And I've enjoyed being able to get a little money here and there for my storytelling, a little money here and there for the acting. And I am fortunate that I am enjoying my day job now much more than I was the last one, which I won't mention.
No, there we go.
But I'm really enjoying it. And that is key. If I can't actually be making a living in the theater, at least I am doing something I'm enjoying.
Sure, and that's so what you really, you have to have a passion about what you're doing.
And like the people you work with.
Well, exactly. That's true. Exactly. That's true. You're listening to Art in the Air. I'm Larry Breckner, along with Esther Golden, and Grant Fitch is our guest today, professional storyteller and actor and award-winning, been doing this 20 years, and he's doing memorized pieces and everything and everything like that. What are some of your favorite roles?
As I mentioned, I played Henry Higgins in My Fair Lady. I was fortunate enough to do that twice. I loved being the man in the chair.
Oh, okay.
Drowsy Chaperone, if you're familiar with that. Dream role, which is basically, if you don't know it, it's a work that was just written in the last 10 years or so, but it's supposed to be a 1920s, 1930s musical. So it's sort of an homage to that style. And what's fun about it is the narrator character, the storyteller, if you will, is talking directly to the audience, my specialty, and he's playing a record of his favorite show, which was called The Drowsy Chaperone. And every once in a while, he'll lift the needle. Everybody on stage freezes, and he says, okay, now here's what you need to understand about this. And he'll tell you some backstory about the actor or what, you know, musicals were like in this era. And so I had a ball.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That. It was very much right up my alley. I was technically the lead in a musical without any songs, which, you know, doesn't happen very often. I have been the lead in a musical a few times, but I'm an actor, not a singer, you know. So when I was doing the Charlie Brown musical, I was playing Charlie Brown. I shaved my head the rest of the way, which didn't take very long, and drew the little squiggle on my forehead. But getting those songs in my head can take a while. I can do a 3-page monologue much more easily than I can.
And that's unusual because, you know, like the whole thing about minstrels, storytelling was because they did it to a melody of some sort, and it made it easier. And I have more trouble doing dialogue, and I don't do that much anyway, but
people do learn the music very well.
But when you learn music, the lyrics just come flowing out of me. I mean, it's
kind
not
of Montessori. They teach everything by song.
Yeah.
The days of the week, the months of the year, all by song.
I mean, think about just things like the ABC song. You know, the ABC,
absolutely.
All of a sudden, boom, you're doing it.
The number of teenagers who can do every word from Hamilton.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Oh, it's amazing.
So true.
It's no matter how fast they come out.
Well, we also have, on Saturday, December 14th, A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
A classic Charles Dickens story. And this is probably the toughest one for you to do because it's all memorized. You're in character costume to some degree and when you do this. And
I come out with a 3-piece suit and then I start taking bits off as I don't call attention to it, but there's some minor little props and things.
Sure.
You know, there's a pipe and there's a glasses and so that sort of thing. Bob Cratchit's scarf, but also what I'm doing throughout is I take off the jacket, I open the vest, I take off the vest, I roll up the sleeves, and it's kind of symbolic of how layer by layer, his hard, crusty shell is being...
Yeah, and his humanity is being...
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
A great that's a great visual,
and
too.
And I've never really, you know, talked about it, but that's how I kind of... Plus, I'm getting sweaty up there. But also, I feel like, you know, that's part of it symbolically is that everything that happens to him in the past and then in the present and then in the future
is shedding
peeling
it.
The layers off him.
Yes.
Yeah, shedding it until he is, you know, laid bare. And his raw nerve of emotion ready to embrace the new Scrooge, ready to change, ready to be someone else.
How long have you been doing this character?
Well,
like this?
It was 1997 when I first put the text together. First few years, I made a few changes here and there, adding things and subtracting things. But
it's not the full text of the novella,
is it? No,
because that would take days.
Well, 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
I've
I'm not sure. Not most people it, have. Most people nowadays have that 90-minute limit now.
Right.
I don't know. We disproved that last weekend.
But there were breaks. So
well, that's true.
But I mean, if you have something like the motion pictures, you know, a feature film is 90 minutes, and I know they do some that are longer. But
when I do it at a library, and if we're trying to get it done in a little over an hour, 65-70 minutes, I cut it. I cut a few scenes, and I shorten a few scenes,
right,
and I get it down to that. But what I find works best is if we take a break halfway through. Yeah. We take an intermission, and that means we can make each half about 40, 45 minutes, and we can really get to the meat of it. And it's neat to see the original version, I guess, of those scenes we've seen over and over again. You know, there's bits of dialogue that we hear in every single movie version, but there's also some things that are so different. You know, to see, it's interesting to see how Dickens wrote the original version of what happened at the Cratchits' house, of what happened at the nephew's party, how he described the ghost of Christmas past, etc. And then there's some scenes that they hardly ever film, you know, and it's kind of neat to bring in some of those too. So I make some changes, and it was interesting that what I first did when I was putting the text together was I went and found what Charles Dickens himself did. After he wrote it, of course, this was before they could make any movie versions, so he did it himself. He became very well known for this story, naturally, in his lifetime, and was quite a well-known author anyway. And he went on tour every Christmas for 20 years, from the time he wrote it to the time he died. And he would do readings.
Wow, this is something I did not know. This is so interesting.
Crowded room, he would do readings. He would perform it, and I can only imagine that he would do all the voices and everything too. And so I found the text that he wrote. So his original cuts, what he took out, what he rewrote, for himself to perform it. So I'm kind of following in his footsteps. Now I went through and I said, okay, I don't like that. I'm going to take it out. Oh, I can't believe he cut that. I'm going to put it in. And so I made it my own, but that was my starting point. And so I've been doing kind of what Charles Dickens did. And now that I've reached, 22 years?
Yeah,
I
looks
guess
like
I've
it.
Been doing it. I think I might have.
I don't do math on the show, so.
I think I might have beat him.
Yeah, well, I think so.
If I can just not die for another year or two, you know, because he died about this age, I think. You know, he'd only been doing it about 20 years when he died. So I've surpassed the master, if you will.
There you go.
And I don't think he ever tried to memorize it anyway.
Yeah, that'd be a lot to do. Well, we want to give you a chance here to do a section. While you're getting ready to go, one of the things I always like to say about A Christmas Carol is one of my favorite motion picture renditions is The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
easily top three.
When I watch it, and it's like, this is so well done. I mean, people think, oh, yeah, it's the Muppet movie. Oh, my gosh, if you haven't seen The Muppet Christmas Carol, that's an annual watch for us, and sometimes twice, because it's wonderful. So
I was just reading the other day that Michael Caine, in an interview, said that he approached it as if he was doing it for the Royal Shakespearean Company. He was not winking at the audience. He was taking it absolutely seriously. He was dealing with his Muppet co-stars as if they were human co-stars. He was playing it absolutely straight.
And
because that's how you have to. You know, then they can make their little songs and jokes and whatever around and he does, yes. He is, I think he's one of the best Scrooges that I've seen.
I think so too. And I always have to say this, if you ever watch it, please watch the television version. Do not watch the motion picture release because they cut the one song out of it.
What's that?
The love song. They cut it completely out.
Oh, that's right.
The love is gone. The whole thing when he is a young man is singing it. That's gone. They musically interlude and they cut it, and then they sing it at the end of the thing as a reprise, but it's no.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I remember that. I saw that once, and I was so enraged.
Right. It's because we have the
full, I like that song.
The full screen version, which I normally don't watch, and then they have the theatrical release, and I usually watch. The one time my wife and I watched that, we were going, oh, and there were some other cuts in there that were really inappropriate. Well, let's get you set up for Charles. This is Grant.
All right, yeah, let me share with you a little bit of Marley and Scrooge.
The Grant Fitch doing A Christmas Carol, and they'll be appearing on Saturday, December 14th at the Record Bin.
This is after Marley has just appeared in his room. Oh, you know what? Let me start with the description. Now I can't think where I was. Because it's all in my head, isn't it? But I'm just thumbing through tabs mentally.
Marley, in his pigtail, usual waistcoat, tights, and boots. The chain he drew was clasped about his middle. It was long and wound about him like a tail, and was made, for Scrooge observed it closely, of cash boxes, keys, padlocks, ledgers, deeds, and heavy purses wrought in steel. Its body was transparent, so that Scrooge, observing him and looking through his waistcoat, could see the two buttons on his coat behind. Now, we have said that Scrooge had little imagination. Well, he had even less fear, though he looked the phantom through and through and felt the chilling influence of its death-cold eyes, though he marked the very texture of the folded kerchief bound about its head and chin as corpses were wrapped for the grave. He was incredulous and fought against his senses. "How now?" said Scrooge, caustic and cold as ever. "What do you want with me?"
"Marge."
It was Marley's voice, no doubt about it. "Who are you?"
"Ask me who I was."
"Who were you, then?"
"In life I was your partner, Jacob Marley."
Can you sit down?"
"I can't do it, then."
Scrooge asked the question because he didn't know whether a ghost so transparent might find itself in a condition to be able to take a chair. But he sat down on the opposite side of the fireplace as if he were quite used to it.
"You don't believe in me."
"I don't."
"Why do you doubt your senses?"
"Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheats. You may be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than of grave about you, whatever you are. Humbug, I tell you, humbug!" At this, the spirit raised a frightful cry and shook its chain with such a dismal and appalling noise that Scrooge held on tight to his chair to save himself from falling in a swoon. But how much greater was his horror when the phantom, taking off the bandage round its head and neck as if it were too warm to wear indoors, its lower jaw dropped down upon its breast.
"Mercy, dreadful apparition, why do you trouble me?"
"Man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?"
"I do. I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me?"
"It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow man and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death."
"You are fettered. Tell me why."
"I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link, and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was full as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain."
"Jacob, speak comfort to me."
"I have none to give. It is conveyed by other ministers, Ebenezer Scrooge, to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all permitted to me. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me! In life my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hall. And weary journeys lie before me."
"But you were always a good man of business, Jacob."
"Business. Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business."
Oh, go see it. He just embodies it.
Grant Fitch, you can see 2 performances, Saturday, December 7th and Saturday, December 14th. The 14th, you'll hear A Christmas Carol. Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it. Art of the Year is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. and broadcast at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1. Thanks to our underwriters, the Brouwer Museum and Walt Breidinger. Next week, we have Eve Wisbicki on here on Art on the Air.
Dig the dunes, Eve.
Dig the dunes. So we'll see you right here next week.
Aloha, everyone. Have a great week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.